Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host today, Anthony Wood, and with me today is the general himself, John McClain. John, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Anthony. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. First of all, I've got to ask, where did you obtain this nickname? I've got to know.
The general, which I've never referred to myself as the general, never would, but in the 80s, the Oilers played a big primetime game against the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and Chronicle sent 8 writers and a couple of photographers, and the bosses told me to oversee the coverage and make sure that we didn't have a lot of duplicate quotes and everybody was doing something different. And I said, okay. So when we left the hotel to go to the game in 2 cars, I told everybody, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to meet at halftime. Then we're going to meet before we go down with about 5 minutes left. The 2 columnists get the first 2 ideas, and we got to make sure this. And our columnist at the time, Ed Fowler, goes, you sound like a general. And we had an assistant sports editor, Harry Shattuck, who was covering it with me. And Harry goes, yeah, general, we're going to start calling you the general. And so that's how it started. And then David Barron from the Chronicle, David, when he would write radio and TV columns, and he would mention me being on different shows, he would always call me the general. And then they started calling me that on talk shows. And so there were things to call someone. Growing up in Waco, my nickname, and when I go home, when I'm around a lot of people, my nickname is Mad Dog, because I got bit by a dog on Halloween one year when I was in junior high. And so my friends in Waco, they have no clue about the general, but they only know me as Mad Dog.
That's quite the combination of nicknames, I must admit. At least there's a good backstory to them, and you're right, they could definitely be worse. So, looking back to OTAs yesterday, who impressed you most on the day?
I've been doing this since 1977, Anthony. I came to the Chronicle in 76. My first training camp was in 77, and I have never been to an OTA or a second practice that had anything to do with what happens in regular season. So by saying that, I have to admit, I spend a lot of time talking to people. And then after it's over, I talk to people in the organization who I trust to see what they thought, because they've gone back and watched everything on tape multiple times. And so I like to do that. And I tell you what, I really, really like watching new players, whether they are rookies, whether they come from other teams, like happens quite a bit with free agents, waiver claims, things like that. You know, I like watching new players. I like watching guys coming off injuries. I like watching guys who are coming off the practice squad. And so anybody, I don't care about seeing J.J. Watt or DeAndre Hopkins or those guys. I want to see the new players who the coaches are watching and the coaches want to get a good look at. And because Titus Howard was the first round pick, he can't hit anybody. But you can see how he looks, how he moves side to side, how he backs up. But until he's going up against J.J. Watt and they hit, you're not really going to know. Whitney Merciless, a veteran outside linebacker, beat him in a few times, but he's just getting used to the fact you can't hit anybody. And the other one, Kahale Waring, and I found out it's not Waring, it's Ware, Waring. W-H-E-R-E-I-N-G is the pronunciation. Kahale Waring, watching him after seeing him in the mini camp, 6'5" and a half, I know he doesn't weigh 252 like he did at the combine. I'm guessing he's around 260. He moves so well. He's crisp in and out of his cuts. He's got strong, quick hands. We can't see him blocking, of course, because he can't hit anybody. But I'm just fascinated by him, not just because he used to play water polo, but because he is such a tremendous athlete. Veterans like Deshaun Gibson, he's going to replace Tyrann Mathieu at safety. And Deshaun Gibson, this is his third team. He's going to be a starter. I'll bet you he's a captain. He's going to have to make calls for the secondary. So I'm watching him as well. And then anytime Deshaun Watson's out there, I'm always mesmerized by him just because he's such an exciting player. He's last year he had 31 touchdowns, 26 passes, 5 rushing. First player in NFL history with at least 4,000 yards passing, 500 rushing, 25 touchdowns passing, 5 touchdowns rushing. And being the first in history in anything is pretty impressive to me. So I always like watching Watson to see accuracy. Is the ball going where it's supposed to go? There's no telling how good he's going to be, Anthony, if Will Fuller and Kiki QT can stay healthy.
Well, that's the big question. I have to admit, Will Fuller and Kiki QT, they're so talented, but like you mentioned, can they stay healthy? So what have you heard? What have you heard from them, and how have they done this spring?
Well, Fuller, he is rehabbing, and I don't think we'll see him to limited action in training camp, and he'll definitely be ready for the start of the season. He's on the same timetable as Deshaun Watson because he had his surgery in early November, just like Watson did. And Kiki QT, who never missed a play or practice at Texas Tech, and then had the hamstring issue most of last season, he looks great. I remember this time last year, the coaches telling me, this kid from Texas Tech, he's got a chance to be special. And then when you saw how quick he was and how you didn't get to see how tough he was till they started going against other teams, but they think that he's had a terrific phase one and phase two of the off-season program. Now, with OTAs, they're in phase three. They have 10, and then they will have their 3-day mandatory mini camp in June before they go on vacation for 5 or 6 weeks. And QT looks very, very good again.
Well, that will come as music to Texans fans' ears, I'm sure. Another player that everyone will be keeping an eye out for in terms of recovery is Justin Reed, the safety. Second year, he looked fantastic last year. How's he looking at the moment? What have you heard about him?
He said that he wasn't worried about the rest. He talked to us yesterday, and if they were worried about him with an injury, they wouldn't have made him available, because injured players, if it's a serious injury, they're not able to talk to the media. And he came in, and I believe, Anthony, that Justin Reed is going to be in. Once he gets his foot in the door at the Pro Bowl, he will be a perennial pick, because that kid is going to be great. They got him in the third round, and he's got everything you want for the position: size, speed, intelligence, playmaking ability. We love him because he's a great interview, Stanford product. And so I look for big things out of Justin Reed.
I couldn't agree more. He's an exciting, exciting young player. So one of the veterans in the squad that interests me going into this year is Jonathan Joseph. Obviously, he's been so consistent in his time with the Texans. I don't think anyone can argue with that. With two rookie corners in Lonnie Johnson and Xavier Crawford, and then a bunch of new signings in Roby and Boddy Calhoun, for example, how much of a mentor do you think he's going to be this year?
Jonathan is a mentor to those guys, not just defensive backs, but other young players. He's 35 years old. You know, he's been in the league since 2006. He's been with the Texans since 2011. I strongly believe that when his career is over, he will go either to the coaching staff or to the front office, depending on what he wants to do. Bill O'Brien has shown he likes bringing back those former players like Andre Johnson, Brian Cushing, Keem Dent, and T.J. Yates. And I know J. Joe would like to stay in the organization And if I'm the Texans, I will make sure he never leaves.
That's absolutely fascinating. I have to admit, that would be a brilliant. You can't deny that would be a fantastic move for the Texans to keep him in the building, given his experience and his consistent level at the top. It's just been brilliant. What have you heard from the rookie corners then, Crawford and Johnson? How much have you heard about them so far?
When you have rookie corners like that, their heads are spinning. Somebody said Lonnie Johnson didn't look all that fast. And I said, well, he can't look fast because he's thinking. You want them eventually to react instinctively and not have to think about their assignment. So it's going to take a while. Now, he is a big guy, 6'2", 213, and he's fast. And they play some big receivers, starting off with Michael Thomas of the Saints. Now, that's a tall order to ask a young guy like that, even though he was a second-round pick, to hang with those big guys. But that's why he was drafted. And so he looks like he would be good at breaking up plays in the red zone. And Xavier Crawford is a slot corner. He's in there with Brian Body Calhoun, who you mentioned earlier, as new guys coming in to cover slot receivers, and his head is spinning as well. But they really like both of those guys, and I think that both of them are going to make the team, and there's a chance that we'll see both of them play a lot.
It will be interesting to see how this secondary does, given how much of a rejuvenation there's been this offseason. So, looking at another position where there's been a bit of change this year, or potentially at least, at running back, Deontay Foreman coming back from his horrendous Achilles injury. How's he looking, and how are the two undrafted free agents, Crockett and Higdon, looking as well? Have they got a shot?
I am paying attention to the free agents. They're undrafted free agents. They're going to have to do something in training camp for me to actually pay attention to him. I know Johnny Dixon, the undrafted receiver, they're really high on him. Did well in the rookie minicamp. Now he's got a chance to be a returner and win a job as a fourth or fifth receiver. Brian Higdon is a 1,000-yard rusher from Michigan. They got an availability for the third running back behind Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman. Foreman has been better shaped than I've ever seen him, which isn't saying much. But he looks to me better shaped than he was when he was in Austin, great as a UT junior. After the season, I believe Bill O'Brien gave him the riot act in a meeting and told him he better get his act together as far as physical conditioning. And Deontay had put out a bunch of videos on Instagram about how hard he was working. And when they saw him show up for the offseason program, that convinced them that they didn't need to use a draft choice on a running back. So far, they're real happy with Foreman. And if he keeps it up, Anthony, I believe he will get a lot of carries and passes thrown to him playing behind Lamar Miller.
That's some great news for the Texans there. And one of the comments that O'Brien made yesterday that I thought was particularly interesting, one of the big free agents that came out yesterday, Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle, he said that he essentially wasn't shutting the door on the Texans considering him. What are your thoughts on McCoy, and do you think they should consider him?
They're not considering him. He's going somewhere else. He's 31. He's in his 10th season. The Buccaneers cut him for a reason. They didn't give him a chance to redo his contract. And he was smart to want out and not show up with a new coach. New coaches hate it when veterans don't show up. They can't say anything because it's not mandatory. Only the three-day minicamp in June is mandatory. So he's now got a chance as an unrestricted free agent to sign with a Super Bowl contender or a playoff contender, which he would not have been with the Buccaneers. And McCoy, I don't know if he can play like the Bucs obviously didn't think he could play the way he used to, or they would have kept him. But he's a great guy. He's great in the community. When they had Bucs on Hard Knocks, I watched every episode, and he was a tremendous guy on that. A lot of great family men that they put a camera and showed him with his family quite a bit, and he just looked like such a good guy. And if you read everything after he was cut, which they knew was coming, everybody praised the heck out of him and wished him the very best. And Anthony, with that, I have to go.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Thank you very much for joining me today on the Texas Talk podcast. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
On social media, I'm on Twitter at McLean, McLain, _on_NFL. And be sure and check out TexasSportsNation.com at the Chronicle, which is where most of my stories run.
Thank you very much for joining me. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Follow me at Twitter, ARWoodNFL. And of course, keep up to date with all things Texans at Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.